One of the worst cases we documented was a case of two gay men raped and beaten severely for 3 days continuously in police custody.
I can't change, even if I try, even if I wanted to.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. A human rights crisis engulfs Kyrgyzstan, an Ivory Coast crackdown sends activists into hiding, but the Grammys affirm talent and love. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Natalie Peoples.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending February 1st, 2014. Human Rights Watch sounded the alarm this week about what it called widespread police abuse that is creating nightmarish conditions for gay and bisexual men in Kyrgyzstan. The Central Asian nation gained its independence in 1991 with the fall of the Soviet Union. It's a predominantly Muslim country, with followers of Islam comprising as much as 85% of the population. Far behind in second place is the Russian Orthodox Church. Although sex between men was decriminalized in Kyrgyzstan in 1998, many people perceive homosexuality as a tragedy and a disease, according to this week's Human Rights Watch report. The well-respected advocacy group's assessment was based on detailed interviews with dozens of gay and bisexual men across the country. It became clear that police are targeting such men in parks, clubs, hotels, and even on gay dating websites. Anna Keery, a Human Rights Watch researcher, describes one of the more horrific examples of abuse.
One of the worst cases we documented was a case of two gay men raped and beaten severely for 3 days continuously in police custody. When gay men are detained by the police officers take their phones to see who else they could extort money from. And then they basically target and terrorize all of his community. The police know that this man have too much to lose if their family or employers or friends find out that they're gay. They know that they can do it with impunity.
Human Rights Watch is calling on the government of Kyrgyzstan to acknowledge the police brutality, investigate all allegations of torture, blackmail, and intimidation, and ensure the victims receive proper compensation and rehabilitation. But a spokesperson for the Interior Ministry quickly dismissed the allegations, telling the Kyrgyzstan News website, kloop.kg, that here, everybody knows how to make unfounded claims about how their rights are violated, but let them provide the evidence. The country's Grand Mufti also warned against public organizations that disseminate social discord while using humanistic ideas, and issued a fatwa against same-gender sexual relations.
Equally well-respected global human rights group Amnesty International is urging authorities in the Ivory Coast to investigate an unprecedented wave of homophobic attacks there. Following days of anti-gay protests in Abidjan, the West African nation's largest city, a mob stormed the office of Alternative Côte d'Ivoire, the country's most prominent LGBT advocacy group, breaking windows and ransacking the office. They stole computers and office supplies and put an overwhelmed security guard in the hospital with serious facial injuries. 5 days earlier, the words, "No to fags," had been spray-painted across walls at the office, and the house of the group's director was attacked. Amnesty said that members of the organization contacted police about the violence, but were accused of working as pimps and told that there were more important issues for law enforcement to deal with. Much of the work of the organization, which is officially recognized by the Ivory Coast Ministry of Health, focuses on HIV/AIDS issues. Many members have reportedly now gone into hiding. The Ivory Coast is a former French colony and one of the few countries in Africa that has never criminalized men who have sex with men. But it offers no legal protections for them.
India's Supreme Court this week refused to reconsider the December ruling by a two-judge panel of the court that recriminalized private consensual adult gay sex. The ruling said that only Parliament could change the law and overturned a determination by the Delhi High Court in 2009 that Penal Code Section 377, which outlaws carnal intercourse against the order of nature, violates the country's constitution. The remnant of British colonial rule punishes violators with up to 10 years in prison. The Supreme Court dismissed petitions this week from the Indian government and seven human rights groups seeking a review of that ruling. Their attorneys argued that outlawing gay sex is a violation of fundamental human rights and impedes HIV prevention efforts. They also asked what would become of the LGBT people who came out after the 2009 Delhi High Court ruling and could now face prosecution. The Supreme Court did not answer that question. The Indian government now has two options. It can either file a curative petition in the Supreme Court, or it can try to repeal Section 377 in Parliament. A curative petition is the final appeal in the legal process, which would be heard by the Supreme Court's five most senior judges. Activists acknowledge that repeal in Parliament anytime soon is unlikely. Even if the chamber's main political party supports repeal, the powerful opposition party wants to keep the anti-gay law on the books.
Singapore's prime minister told a student forum this week that it's not the government's responsibility to protect gay relationships because 4 in 5 Singaporeans think that they are almost always wrong, according to recent polling. The nation-state's Today newspaper reported that Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong told the gathering that it's not the government's role to decide if society's deeply held social and moral values are right or wrong. Interestingly, Gay Star News cites the discovery in an Institute of Policy Studies survey that while an overwhelming majority of Singaporeans disapprove of same-gender sex, a slightly smaller number oppose marriage equality, suggesting that those who oppose same-gender sex would find it somehow more acceptable if the couples were at least married.
But the last law banning gay sex in Europe became history this week, with the passage of a repeal measure in the Parliament of Northern Cyprus. While Greek Cypriots in the southern part of the divided eastern Mediterranean island decriminalized gay sex in 1998, breakaway Northern Cyprus previously punished violators with up to 5 years in prison. The self-declared Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus announced its independence in 1983. Turkish troops had occupied that part of the island since 1974. The Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus is only recognized by Turkey, however, and not by the rest of the international community.
There were more developments this week about the draconian anti-gay laws in Nigeria and Uganda. As we reported last week, what local media called a lynch mob demanded the swift execution of 7 men on trial in the mostly Muslim northern Nigerian city of Bauchi for belonging to a gay rights group. Nigerian lawmakers made that a crime in early January. The assault by several thousand angry stone-throwing demonstrators forced the judge to prematurely end the proceedings and shut down the upper Sharia court. A separate trial of 3 other suspects on similar charges in another of the city's Islamic courts was also suspended because authorities wanted to avoid a similar mob attack there. Court officials said this week that new dates would be set for each trial, but they won't be disclosed, and the suspects will be transported to court in secret. While officials claim that the secrecy is necessary to protect the safety of the suspects, local rights activists say officials may simply be trying to shield the trials from the overwhelmingly critical international spotlight. The so-called Jail All the Gays law, signed on January 13th by President Goodluck Jonathan, but known officially as the Same-Sex Marriage Prohibition Act, bans marriage equality, outlaws gay events, clubs, and associations, and punishes violators with up to 14 years in prison. Gay people risk being imprisoned simply for being out, and anyone who knows somebody who is gay must report that person to police or go to jail for 5 years.
Meanwhile, Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni now says he wants proof that being gay is a choice before he signs what used to be called the Kill the Gays Bill. At one time, the legislation, actually called the Anti-Homosexuality Bill, included execution for repeat offenders. Under the measure passed late last month, they will reportedly now instead be jailed for life. But activists say they've yet to see the actual text of the bill. Museveni first refused to sign the measure, announcing on January 17th that he had serious concerns about its legality because a parliamentary quorum was not present when the vote was taken. But he also called gay people abnormal. Uganda's Observer newspaper quoted the president this week as telling his ruling government's caucus that, unless I have got confirmation from scientists that this condition is not genetic, but a behavior that is acquired, I will not sign the bill. Homosexuality is already illegal in the Eastern African nation, and violence against the country's LGBT population has been steadily increasing since the anti-homosexuality bill was first introduced in 2009. Even if Museveni vetoes the bill outright, most observers say that an overwhelming majority in the Ugandan parliament would override it.
But finally, Bulgarian lawmakers rejected a controversial proposal this week that would have made it a crime just to be out. The amendment to the nation's criminal code was proposed by the nationalist Ataka Party and was seen as harsher than the notorious anti-gay legislation in Russia. It called for up to 5 years in prison and a large fine for anyone who, by organizing or participating in events, rallies, and parades, or through the media and the internet, publicly manifest their own or of other persons' homosexual orientation. Many Ataka MPs cited the Bible in their unsuccessful push for passage. One also worried about how his children would be affected by seeing in public what he called those half-naked buggers with psychotic abnormalities.
That's News Wrap for the week ending February 1st, 2014. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. I'm Natalie Peoples.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
It was the ceremony, as much as the song, that put Macklemore and Ryan Lewis's Grammy Awards performance into the history books. During their hip-hop anthem, Same Love, 33 diverse couples were serenaded with the additional help of surprise guest Madonna and legally married by a queen. Latifah, that is.
When we say music has the power to bring people together at the Grammys, we mean it. One of the most inspiring success stories in music this past year has been Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, already four-time Grammy winners tonight. This song is a love song not for some of us, but for all of us. And tonight we celebrate the commitment to love by some very beautiful couples. Joined by Mary Lambert and New Orleans own Trombone Shorty, here's Macklemore and Ryan Lewis in an uplifting song that says, whatever God you believe in, we come from the same one. Strip away the fear. Underneath is all the same love.
When I was in the third grade, I thought that I was gay, cause I could draw. My uncle was, and I kept my room straight. I told my mom, tears rushing down my face. She's like, Ben, you've loved girls since before pre-K. Tripping. Yeah, I guess she had a point, didn't she? Bunch of stereotypes all in my head. I remember doing the math, like, yeah, I'm good at Little League. A preconceived idea of what it all meant for those that like the same sex. Had the characteristics, the right-wing conservatives, sticking to decision. And you can be cured with some treatment and religion. Man-made rewiring of a predisposition, playing God. Ah, now here we go. America the brave still fears what we don't know. God loves all his children, it's somehow forgotten. But we paraphrase a book written 3,500 years ago. I don't know.
I can't change. Even if I tried, even if I wanted to, I can't change. Even if I tried, even if I wanted to, my love, my love, she keeps me warm. She keeps me warm. She keeps me warm. She keeps me warm.
If I was gay, I would think hip-hop hates me. Have you read the YouTube comments lately? Man, that's gay, it gets dropped on the daily. We become so numb to what we're saying. A culture founded from oppression. Yet we don't have acceptance for them. Call each other faggots behind the keys of a message board. A word rooted in hate, yet our genre still ignores it. Gay is synonymous with the lesser. The same hate that's caused wars from religion, gender, skin color, the complexion of your pigment. The same fight that led people to walk out in sit-ins. It's human rights for everybody. There is no difference. Live on and be yourself. When I was at church, they taught me something else. If you preach hate at the service, those words aren't anointed. That holy water that you soak in has been poisoned. When everyone else is more comfortable remaining voices, rather than fighting for humans that have had their rights stolen. I might not be the same, that's not important. No freedom till we're equal, damn right I support it. Progress march on. With the veil of our eyes, we turn our back on the cause. Till the day that my uncles can be united by law. Cause I walk around the hallway, plagued by pain in the heart. A world so hateful, some would rather die than be who they are. A certificate on paper isn't gonna solve it all, but it's a damn good place to start. No law is gonna change us. We have to change us. Whatever God you believe in, we come from the same one. Strip away the fear, and underneath it's all the same love. About time that we raised up.
We are gathered here to celebrate love and harmony in every key, in every color. As I look out on this audience, I'm delighted to see the faces of 33 couples who've chosen this moment to celebrate their vows with us here in Los Angeles, and everyone watching around the world as witnesses. It is my distinct honor to now ask our participants to exchange rings to signal their commitment to one another and to a life shared together with the music of love. Will you please exchange rings? Do you each declare that you take each other as spouses? By the power vested in me by the state of California, I now pronounce you a married couple.
Open your heart to me, baby. I hold the lock and you hold the key. Open your heart to me, darling. I'll give you love if you turn.
Macklemore and Myron Lewis followed their four-trophy Grammy night with a return the next day to Ellen DeGeneres' TV talk show.
Just a little over 1 year ago today, our first guests made their television debut right here on our show, and since then they have taken over the music world. And it's happened kind of gradually, but you're now playing like sold-out, you know, tours, and it's got to be so gratifying to do it your way, because you really did do it in a way that no other artists have.
It's been a very cool journey. It started with the fans. It spread organically. And, you know, we have a lot of praise to show you, because this was the first time that we ever performed live on television. You got behind Same Love before anybody else did, before it was a radio song, before it was out there with the video on MTV. You were behind it, so.
It's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful song, and I'm so glad that it's become such a huge success and more people are hearing it. And whose idea was that performance and everyone getting married and Madonna being a part of it? How'd that come up?
You know, it started, Ken Ehrlich, who's the producer of the show, his daughter has been a fan for a while. Mm-hmm. And so she told him that over the last year, a few different times we've had proposals on stage that people would email us and be like, hey, is there any way that I could propose on stage? So we've done that a few times, and he thought that was a cool idea, and then it just started building and building and turned into 33 couples.
It was so emotional.
Was
I was crying, Portia was crying, and then you could see Keith Urban. A lot of people in the audience were crying. Were you emotional? Did you get
much? Yeah, I definitely did. I got emotional during rehearsal, and I got emotional during the performance. During the third verse, I started rapping, and that's when the procession of couples started to come in.
You could hear people cheering.
And everyone stood up at that point. And, you know, it just gives me goosebumps thinking about it. Now to watch, like, you know, the Staples Center kind of erupt and stand up and participate in that ceremony, it was magic.
It's funny, because I could hear everyone starting to cheer when you were singing, and I thought, is Madonna, because I knew Madonna was going to sing with y'all, and I thought, is she somewhere that people are seeing her? But it was, they were cheering for the couples.
I was just thinking I was rapping really well at that time.
Extra good.
And everyone was just like, love this verse. Not at all. It was the couples. Yeah.
But Madonna was great. It's actually, Madonna called me last night after she got off stage to wish me a happy birthday, which was really sweet. Hi, Madonna. She doesn't
know. I didn't know it was your birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. But she called me right afterwards, and she goes, wasn't that so emotional? Wasn't that so? And it was. It was just so, the impact was, I think, bigger than you could have imagined that it would be.
Yeah.
That's how Ellen DeGeneres felt. But the Same Love weddings had the opposite impact on the religious right. They called it perverse, agitprop, craptacular, and even intolerant and bigoted. The satirical right was represented, as always, by Comedy Central's Stephen Colbert.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much. Folks, I don't know if you watched it, but last night was music's biggest event of the year, the Grammys. Of course, big winners of the night were Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, who won 4 Grammys, including Best Rap Album, beating out Kanye West, Kendrick Lamar, Drake, and Jay-Z, which means that white people have officially won rap. Thank you. Thank you very much for rap, African Americans. You fought bravely, but we'll take it from here. Now, Unfortunately, folks, the evening was marred when my friend Macklemore and Lewis had to politicize their gay anthem, Same Love. Folks, I cannot believe that on national television they held a mass gay wedding. Now, officially, it was only 33 couples, but who knows how many people were inadvertently gay married last night. You know, it's just like a Gallagher concert. The first 2 rows are in the gay splash zone. But I hope that Dave Grohl and Jay-Z will be very happy together. Though it might be a little tough on Beyonce and her new spouse, Taylor Swift. Do not break her heartbeat, or she will write a very catty song about you.
And finally, lest we forget, rising young country star Hunter Hayes debuted his anti-bullying track Invisible earlier in the evening for the first supportive Grammy showstopper.
Crowded hallways of loneliest places for outcasts and rebels, or anyone who just dares to be different. And you've been trying for so long, yeah, to find out where your place is, but in their narrow minds there's no room for anyone who dares to do something different. Oh, but listen for a minute.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. This week, Michael LeBeau and Natalie Peoples contributed program material. Thanks also to Steve Pride. Hunter Hayes performed Invisible, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is funded by the Yavanna Foundation and listeners' support. Log on to thiswayout.org for news wrap transcripts, program information, and links to our podcast, blog, and Facebook page. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KWMD, Anchorage, Castleoff, and the Matanuska, Susitna Valley, Alaska, to UUU, now Renew South Wales, WSMU, North Dartmouth, Massachusetts, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned!